thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Thank you, worship team. That was awesome, guys. Of course, God inhabits the praises of his people, so he gets all the glory and honor. Londa, why don't you come on up? Londa Harwell is a healing director at Voice Ministries. God entrusts many people's souls into her hands and how he works through her. And it's an awesome privilege to have her in this role and ministering tonight. So let's pray for her. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask for your blessing, your peace, and your anointing upon Londa. Father, I ask even now that you would bless her abundantly. And Lord, just bless our hearing of the word tonight. And Lord, we're expecting miracles tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. Are you liking the heat? Yeah, some yes, some no. I'm sort of like with the yes, with caution. I like it. I was just thinking, add another 15 degrees or a little bit more and take away the humidity, and that's what we grew up in, so we're a little more tolerant of it. But we're going to use just this is two-sided tonight, but we're not going to get to the backside, but I do want to explain it a little bit. One time I was praying, and I heard the Lord say, I want you to write this down. And I've heard him say that several times when I'm praying. It was a new concept to me, like why? But then he began to just unfold like a devotional. So use the backside as a devotional. I started out with a prayer and I ended with one, and I hope it blesses you. Kind of goes along with what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. I was with the Lord and I heard him speaking, and this is what I felt like he was saying to the church. That's us. So what has happened to your expectations? Have you put limitations on the way I would speak to you? Come up higher. Expect for me to show up. You talk about it. Now step into that understanding. Believe me for the more. Understand, rely, and trust my unity with you. Fellowship with me is a constant place of awareness, unity, and presence. Press into the knowing, for I will not fail you. My promises are sure. Laugh with me. Rest in the truth of who I am and embrace me, and don't let go. We talk about our Christian walk and about walking in that place of knowing and having confidence in God and trusting him and believing him for every situation. But when the situation comes, like if a trial comes, then we get faint. Oftentimes we get faint, we get weary in the trial, we get frustrated, we start doubting ourselves, we start doubting God, and we start doubting our neighbor, and it starts being like a festering infection. Have you ever heard of fainting goats? Everybody heard of fainting goats? I haven't thought of them for a long time, but there is such a thing as a fainting goat, and when it gets startled or overexcited, it actually falls down and becomes stiff for a few seconds, and then it jumps back up and waiting for the next time to fall down and get stiff. And I mean, they'll even do it if they're excited about getting food. If they get overexcited, they'll just fall flat out. I mean, it's hysterical. You should look it up. I thought, you know, how so like that are we? Sometimes we're going along through life and we're running, and these goats are running for all they're worth and playing, and all of a sudden something startles them and they fall right over. And how easy it is for us to do that very same thing. We'll be running along thinking life is all awesome and hunky-dory, and suddenly we'll have a suddenly that's not too pretty, and we fall faint. and we fall to the side. And these goats will even, some of them don't quite fall out, but they'll run stiff-legged then, because their legs lock into their. What happens is their muscles actually freeze. That's why they fall over. But there, some of them can keep kind of running, but they look like a stick then when they're running, until that breaks for them. But we do the same thing. We lose our momentum. We lose our coordination. You know, in the Lord, we start faltering and stumbling and questioning. And I just felt like the Lord is like, what's happened to your expectations? Where have they gone? You know, where have you put them? Is it only when the miraculous happens, when a sign and a wonder happens, is that the only time we can have that faith? Then our faith rises for sure, you know, because then we have the physical evidence that God's present and he's doing something. But on a day-to-day basis, are you expecting God? Are you expecting him to show up every day? Are you expecting him to show up in some way? You need to be. We need to be. I had an awesome reminder of that the other day. And this was not a hot day. This was before it turned real hot. It was a couple weeks ago. But it hadn't rained for a few days, or two or three. But I have this plant, and I'm not sure what it's called, but the flowers, we call it a plate flower. But they get real big, and they're flat, big flowers. They're the size of a plate, and they're flat looking. But the shoots that come up out of that to grow are very tall. They're about 6.5 feet tall. And you cut that off every year, and it grows up every year. And it's normally very strong, and it doesn't need a lot of water. But I was out there the other day, and I was pruning my rose. There's a rose bush right next to it, and it desperately needed pruned. And so I was after the rose bush, and I looked at that plant, and it was literally like this. The tops of it was drooping, and that's not good. That's not good. So I made a mental note that I need, apparently, and that's the only plant on the side that was acting weird. And I thought, well, okay, so I'll water it and make sure that I water it when I'm done with this rose bush. And it took me about 20 minutes on the rose bush, and it's right next to it. By the time I got done with the rose bush, that plant was standing straight up. It felt the presence of God. It felt, nature recognizes. Jesus says if we don't worship God, the very rocks will cry out. And that plant recognized, I was blessing the rose bush, you know. I was singing and as I blessed my plants, you know. But it felt that presence and it came to attention. I watered it anyway, just because I, you know, wanted to bless it. But it reminded me of God's very presence in everywhere, everything that everywhere you go, there he is. His Holy Spirit dwells within you. So where you are, there he is. And you need to recognize it. And you need to expect him to show up. You need to, not with presumption, but with expectation of who he is. He's God. And he loves showing up. He loves you to recognize that he is showing up. In Mark 8:34, this is in the Amplified Version, it says, "And Jesus called to him the throng with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget, ignore, disown, and lose sight of himself and his own interests.'" This is selfishness. It's like giving up your selfishness, yourself, your flesh. "And take up his cross, and joining me as a disciple, and siding with my party, follow me, continually cleaving steadfastly to me." That part where it says to take up our cross and follow him. Sometimes I have heard that in my past. You guys may have all got this, but I always had been taught early in my history that was our flesh, our take up our bear, our burdens and our flesh and all those things that we struggle with and pick it up and follow Jesus. That's not what this means. It just, the Lord brought revelation to me, and you probably already got it, but to me, it's amazing that this cross, it says, let him deny himself and lose sight. It's like deny. When you deny yourself, when you deny the flesh, you're dropping it. Then you pick up the cross, which, what does the cross represent to you? It's redemption. It's freedom. It's light. It's not heavy. It's not a burden. It's joyful. It's our identity in Christ. That's what we need to pick up. We need to pick up that cross. We don't, you know, our burdens and junk and stuff. Jesus nailed that to the cross. It's in Colossians 2. That's one place you can read that. And Isaiah 53. Eat those, you know, pick those verses apart and study them, eat them, chew them. The cross is amazing. Everything, the depths of the cross, we've only just begun to get. We have no clue the depths of what redemption means, what freedom and forgiveness and what happened there. We need to embrace what happened there, because in that place, our cross is light. Our cross is our identity in Christ Jesus. It's the Amplified puts it, says, siding with my party. It's like joining a club. We've joined Jesus' club when we pick up his cross. You know, it's our in. The flesh has been nailed to the cross. We have to come into agreement with it. It's mind renewal. All goes back to, it's already been done for you. The avenue in which to do it has already been done. God does not, he doesn't see you that way. He sees you as redeemed. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Father sees you through the blood of his Son. The perfect sacrifice. He sees you through that blood. I had a vision one time. I've told you this. I hope you don't get tired of hearing it. I was a little girl and I got picked up. I was on Jesus' shoulders and I got picked up by a couple angels. And we flew into the heavens straight up. And I can feel those when they happen. And so it's like I was there. And all of a sudden, we're in the skies, not going towards anything, but we stop on this ledge. We land on a ledge, and I can feel the ledge under my feet, but I couldn't see anything. And we're just standing there, and I'm taking in the view. I've got an angel on either side of me. I'm tiny. I've got real long hair, ringlets, and cute. I'm cute. Just cute. I was a cute little girl. I was. But anyway, in this vision, I was really cute. And I had bows in my hair and little shoes with little lacy socks on and a little jumper. And I was standing there thinking, okay, this is really beautiful to be out in space like that. And the angels weren't talking. And all of a sudden, a big window opens up. And this light floods out. And it's overpowering. It's brilliance is more than I can bear to look at, because I realize it's the glory of God. And so I'm looking at this, and the more I look at it, the less I can. It's so pure. And I become aware of my impurities and my I look down, and my outfit is now muddy. My socks are torn. My shoes are scuffed up. My hair is matted, and the ribbons are coming out. And I can't then I get to where I can't look. And I'm hiding my eyes and just feeling such shame. And so I heard a voice command me to open my eyes. It was a voice of love, and I did. And I mean, you have to obey. And I did, and that it was Jesus standing there. And he said, come. And so I jumped. I didn't hesitate. I jumped. And I flew into his arms, but he was all, looked like he'd been hanging on the cross. He was bloody. It was oozing and runny, and his face was misshapen. But I could not jump to him. And he held me. And then he squeezed me hard. And I popped inside of him, which was admittedly weird. It felt weird, but it was just like a weird thought. And then I popped out on the other side. And when I got on the other side, I instantly realized that I was shiny. I was more than restored. I was way cuter than I was before. And there was no shame. And I turned around, and Jesus was in his redeemed body. And he goes, that's what I've done for you. When you accepted me as Lord and Savior, I did this for you. This is what happens. This is the way Papa sees you. Each one of you need to know that he sees you through the blood of his Son. You need to walk in who he says you are. Your mind, your flesh fights that concept. And our choice is the greatest powerful gift that God has given us. It's also our greatest demise. We choose, and our choice determines our future for eternity. It also, you can choose to be a Christian, and you are, and you have that, but we also then make other choices along the way, and we choose to walk in the redemptive power of the cross. We need to pick up this cross, this identity of who Jesus says we are, and we need to walk in that. We need to embrace it. Our minds need to be wrapped around it. Ask the Lord for I'm like always after God. I pester him for revelation on everything that I don't fully understand, and even those things that I think I fully understand, I want more revelation, because he's way deeper than what he'll for eternity, he's going to outgive us. For eternity, we'll always be wanting more, because he's always giving more. We'll never get tired of being with God. Never be tired of being in his presence. Our cross is not heavy. It's our identity in Christ. It is crucial for our well-being that we understand the total victory of the cross of Christ. That is your identity. You're on that side of Jesus. You're not on the cross side. If you know him as Lord and Savior, you've passed through his blood, and you stand there in victory. That you need to embrace and walk in. Let go of the doubts, the insecurity, the anger, the fear, those things that bind you and keep you earthbound, and let those encumbrances go and become, you're seated in Christ in the heavenly places. So we need to, our mind, our will coming into alignment with the Lord sets you free, because he's already set you free on the cross. So the more you embrace it and the more you know it, the more you're able to walk in it. Galatians 2:19-20 says, for I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, have, in Christ's death for me, myself died to the law and the law's demands upon me, so that I may henceforth live to and for God. I have been crucified with Christ in him, and I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adherence to and reliance on complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul got that concept. That concept of dying I've so died that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He embraced that identity. He didn't walk it out in perfection. None of us do. We make mistakes. But to get it, to embrace that we have been we've been redeemed, we're in the process of receiving it. We're in the process of embracing the redemption. It's that mind renewal needs to happen. The heart needs to come into alignment with what has already been done. The spirit of religion wants to keep the law. So Paul was set free from the law. That's the spirit of religion. Spirit of religion wants to keep us walking in fear and condemnation. It wants to walk in, wants us to walk in hopelessness, thinking we will never be good enough or will never receive blessing from God. Because of the cross of Christ, our cross is one of blessing. Even when some of this stuff is discipline, right? It's making your will come into a new way of thinking. Some of it needs to be healed, and some of it just needs to be turned around and embrace the truth of the word. I'm after God. I want to recognize and embrace truth. I don't care what that costs me. I want to walk in faith. I want to walk in truth of the word. I want to know it here and here, not just here. I don't want just head knowledge. I'm not a scholar, but I'm a student of the Lord. You know, He's a scholar, and I want to embrace truth. I want my heart to be in such a way that it's like this before God. Fill it, you know. I want a desperation for truth. That song that said, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord." I'm like, God, give me a bigger yes. We can't have too big a yes. We need a bigger yes. God, yes. Get radical with him, because he'll meet you. He'll meet you. That I know. I have walked in, you guys all know, I've been real open about my physical issues. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to be the testimony tonight. For years, have walked in suffering. And I'm not fully out of it yet. So I am going to be honest with you. But I am seeing changes in my body that I have never seen before. And I'm not doing anything special, because the Lord told me to stop. I mean, I go to a doctor when I need to. I just recently got an allergy shot. So it's not like that. I'm not anti, but as far as doing something radical to change my whole system and all, you know, I've been there, done that, and it didn't work. Every single thing that I've ever tried, God has frustrated. And he's pulled me into a place of complete dependency on him for my very existence, my very life, my joy and everything. And I've asked for it. I've asked him to make me a dependent woman. I want to live faith. I want to live by faith. I don't want to be shaken when the next big thing comes down. I don't want to. We don't need to be. If we're standing in faith, if we're doing the work now, the groundwork now for that, when that stuff comes, we're going to stand. But the oil needs to be bought now. It needs to be bought now, not then. Then's too late. You know, when it's happening in the middle of it, it's too late. So I'm in the last year, I'm sleeping. I used to, for years, only get like 2 hours, and this is not an exaggeration, 2 hours a night of interrupted sleep. And then I would, so my day was, as you can imagine. I'm now getting 6 to 7, sometimes even 8 hours. It's still somewhat interrupted, but the majority of those nights, I feel I am now, just in the last 3 months, feeling rested when I get up in the morning. I'm rarely now, I can, before I could not go through a day without a nap, sometimes two. And now, since January, the naps are getting less and less have-tos. I can go several days sometimes without one. And before, if I didn't get that, I would pay. Tuesdays were big because I knew how to push my body. I would push it. And then, so not take a nap and work the whole day, because Tuesday used to be all-day ministry. And till late at night, like it is tonight. And the next day, I would be in bed most of the day because my body didn't have the stamina. I'm not having to do that. Tomorrow, I have 2 sessions scheduled. Now, I'll be tired by the end of that. So I'm not out of this, but I am seeing these changes that I've never seen. One of my grandsons got married this last weekend. And, okay, I found a dress and all that, but for me, shoes, my older daughter went through my closet and she's like, no. Now, every shoe I pulled out, and I don't have a lot, she's like, no, Mom, no, seriously. So, I hate shopping, especially for shoes. So I went everywhere. I finally found a pair that I knew she would approve of. I sent pictures, and she approved, but they were a heel with a wedge, probably about 2.5 inches. I have not been able to wear a heel of any kind, except for maybe an inch of wedged, like thick, very supported shoe, for a long time, I have arthritis, a lot of arthritis in my body, and my feet are seriously affected. And I wore that shoe. It was a naturalizer, so it's a good shoe, but I wore it almost the whole evening. And it got a little owie, but mostly because it wasn't broke in and it made a blister on one of my toes. That was it. I mean, I changed shoes after about 3 hours into it. I never could have done that before. So I'm seeing changes. So when we're walking through life and we don't see changes in our circumstances, that doesn't mean God's not working. You start believing for that which you do not see. I started about 6 years ago. Because when I first got into healing ministry and trying to wrap my mind around that's a possibility, that whole thing was like, it has to happen now, right now. If it doesn't happen now, then, okay. So I kept going for healing, and it never happened. And I got worse. I actually got worse in the beginning. And so so then I'm like, internally, what am I believing, God? What? And so I went for the internal stuff, and I couldn't find anything that I didn't agree with. And the Lord just like finally one day stopped me, and took me to Job, and he goes, Londa, in Job it says Job's friend Elihu goes, I'm angry at you, your friends, Job, because you you justify yourself and they don't know what to say to you. And I'm angry at you, Job, because you justify yourself and not God. And I heard the Lord say, Londa, can you justify me here and say I'm good? And I made that. When I made that choice, yes, I will find your goodness here. Show it to me. I need you to show that to me. And when I made that shift, I started praising God for that which I did not see and thanking him for health, thanking him that he is healing me. Thank you that he's done it on the cross. You know, embracing the truth of the word, standing in the truth of the word, not because I feel it, because I know it. There's a difference. When you feel it, it's good. But when you know it, it's powerful. When you know the truth of the word and you stand in that. So regardless of what you're feeling, the truth wins. So now when I have a really bad day and everything flares up, I can stand in the truth of the word because I'm not shaken by what's flaring. Not for very long. I'll still have my shaky days, but it doesn't get me down. And I'm not there long. I bounce up like that goat. Hops back up. And he takes off running again. In Ephesians 4, 2 through 5, it says, but God, so rich is he in mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him, for by its grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved and delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. You are one with Christ. You're one with him. And the very life of Christ. This next verse says healing is one of the many benefits of the cross of Christ in which we have embraced. In Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's what's happening in my body. I may not get an instant healing, but I am in the process. It's because of the relationship. It's out of relationship with God. The more and more I have understanding of the relationship that I have of being one with Jesus, the more illness doesn't make sense to me. It becomes more and more foreign. I remember telling Dave one time, my reality is that I am sick. I am a sick person. I'm not going to go around saying I'm not sick, because I am. Okay, well, that's how I felt at that moment. But the more I embrace my oneness, the Holy Spirit of Jesus dwelling in me, residing in me, I have to be like that plate flower next to me that isn't wilted. But I stand up because of the presence of God in me. My body has to receive that. It has to be healed. I mean, it's like I'm getting it, that it has to respond to the presence of God. It can't not respond. It has no choice. You know, it has no choice. And I'm not being weird about that. It really doesn't. It has to. Because I get it. My mind is in agreement with who God says I am and what he's done for me. So start making those shifts. in your mind and align yourself with truth. God, give me a bigger, say those things, give me a bigger yes. Give me the revelation of your truth for me. You know, some of you have been suffering long-term situations or illness, persecution, whatever, you know, long-term addictions. It's like those things can make you weary and make you feel like God is not listening, he's left you, turn that around and recognize and believe and behold what God has done for you, because it's amazing. It's amazing. The truth of what he's done for you is amazing. It will set you free. I feel free even though I'm in an imperfect body. I feel free and joyful and blessed. I feel blessed. Even when I'm having a flare-up day, I look for blessing now. I look for it. I'm like, give me eyes to see you in everything. A blade of grass is amazing when you look at it. I love even weeds, you know. I think some of the flowers on weeds are just stunning. And I take pictures of those cursed things, but I think they're beautiful. You know, see the beauty in even the bad. Don't let the bad get your gaze. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Doesn't deserve it. Satan didn't pay a price for you. He didn't pay the price to set you free. Jesus did, and he's worth beholding. He has freedom for you, victory. Amen. So I'm going to ask Michael to come up. There you are. And we're gonna get some healing tonight. Some things are going to happen. I just feel there's freedom. There's freedom from bondage tonight. There's freedom. Freedom from illness. There's freedom from depression, freedom from addictions. There's freedom. I just feel like the Lord wants to set the captives free tonight. We're going to start worship. I want you all to stand. How many of you have back pain? Everybody with back pain, I want you to come forward. Wow. Just line up here. Come on out here. Just line up here. Can you? Yeah, let me. Yeah, get another line going here if we need to. Okay, that's a lot of oppression right here. Jesus. Every single person in here can pray for somebody to be healed. So I want you to stretch out your hands to these people. And I want you to believe in Jesus, our Redeemer. And just start praying for these people to be healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we celebrate who you are. We celebrate your redemption. We celebrate your freedom from pain. So I take authority over a spirit of pain right now, and I command it to go. I break it off of every single person here in this line of people. Every one of you, put your hand on the person next to you. Each person in the line, put your hand on the person next to you. Go down the line. Okay. Father, we just thank you, and we all stand in agreement